Thank you so much for the invitation. It's been having a wonderful time here. So today I wanted to tell you a little bit of stuff related to Cartesian logistic equivalence, finite algebra, all that stuff. Okay, let me start. So where's the starting point for me? Starting point for me is I will be considering, I will use this sort of like algebraic like T formulation. So for me, Z is the, for the whatever, like mu's, and then like kappa twisted. So for me, kappa, okay, I will have to decide kappa is positive or negative. Let me say kappa positive for today. How's that? Okay. And for me, this is the thing that I'm thinking in terms of the Rom world. So for me, this is the thing that, you know, for instance, you know, like for two manifold, well, for, I guess, one manifold is supposed to be closed ones, I guess, supposed to be like two categories. And then for two manifolds, supposed to be one category, so on and so forth. Okay, so the one that I have in mind is the one that does the following. So I want the one that such that the for my complex curve X, this is supposed to be the kappa twisted D modules on bone G. And for I want to decide on whether, okay, let me just say S1, although S1 is like not very the correct thing. The correct thing should be say like puncture disk at a certain point. This is supposed to be, well, the idea is that it's supposed to be D modules kappa twisted, take loop group, and then take its the two category of its module categories. Okay, so now, of course, let me just make a remark before I even go to anywhere, just saying that, you know, from this perspective, Z of, you know, S1 is roughly, should be, you know, some sort of like chiral or E2 structure. And how do you see that? So here's a fact that embeds into the, how should I say it? So so it embeds into the category of chiral modules over the D modules, twisted D modules over the Afanasian. Right. So this, of course, being the vacuum of ZS1. And the sort of the idea of a chiral structure comes from, in some sense, you can think of the right hand side. Now, of course, there are boundary conditions. For this kind of theory, and a few ones that I would really need. Of course, there's, you know, just vacuum. So, and then there's the Newman boundary conditions. So for each of the boundary condition, so B of S1 is supposed to be element of ZS1. Right? So for instance, if I'm only thinking about the vacuum, this should lead to precisely kappa over G. And if I'm looking at the Newman boundary condition, this is supposed to be the category of kappa twisted Hajimuti modules. And what else do I need? There's one more, I guess. There's the, I don't know the correct physics name for it. I guess like gauge breaking or something like that. So for any subgroup H, they're supposed to be the D modules, kappa twisted D modules on loops of G, quotient by loops of H. So, okay. And now with boundary conditions, I can start pairing them up, right? And I will be producing 3D theories. So now we can pair them. So for instance, if I pair the Newman boundary condition with vacuum, right? So what do you get? You get the following category, right? Because you take the Hom out of the Mapping-Grassmannian, you get the GO category. So this category I would denote by KOG. This is the Cauchy analogy category. So there's tiny subtlety in the definition of this thing, because what I want to consider is sort of the fully derived version. So, but that involves something, tiny bit of a homological fix that I will hopefully say something about at the very end of the talk. I don't want to get into that technical detail in the beginning. So you should think of this as, so let me just give you the idea. This is sort of the derived category of smooth G hat GO Harishanja modules, modules with a homological fix. Let's put it that way. Okay. And so this category is quite interesting. At the generic level, of course, there's nothing that exciting happens. It becomes a representation category of G. But at rational levels, this becomes something that is non-semisimple, and it has a very interesting structure. So here's a very interesting structure. So let's see. So this is the theorem by Kachdan and Luchtik. I don't know like which precise year, 1993, 1994. It says the following. It says that for them, of course, they only talk about the abelian category. So to be precise, let me add a heart here. So this is equivalent to as braided monoidal categories. All right. So here, this what I mean by this is. Is the category of representations for Luchtik's quantum group. So this is a general phenomenon about quantum group theory. Let me just put a reminder here. So reminder. At roots of unity, many versions of quantum group. Right. So, for instance. There is does the audience need a definition, full definition, or all right? I think it would be okay. Let me, if people want to see full definition, I will do that later. But let me just say that there is the Luchtik's version, which is with so. The way you think about it is that you always start with a certain rational form, and you pick up a sort of subalgebra generated by some generators, and then there you have a choice there whether you use the divided power generators or the regular ones. So Lujic is the one with all divided power generators. So that's what Lujic says. So these are divided power generators. And then there's the so-called catch, De Concini, which is the one where you don't include any of the divided power generators. Okay. And then, for what's worth, let me just say there's also the version that's called mixed, where you consider the divided power generators for the E's, but you don't consider the divided power generator for the F. Okay. So for the Kachan and Lujic results, it is this version that they match with the affine the algebra representations. Now, of course, just to motivate it a little bit, so this Kachan and Lujic equivalence, I think it was Finkelberg, maybe other people. You can use this to lead to, like, basically the correspondence between the W's and W and CS in the following sense. Maybe I think this is Finkelberg. So let's consider the category of just representations of the loop group. So this this is the same thing as factorization or VOA modules for the simple quotient of the affine Kac-Moody algebra, but here I want kappa to be positive integral. Sorry, I forgot a crucial thing to say. Let's say that after saying here. This is the same as the fact here is that this is the same as a certain semi-simplification of the quantum group representation category. And this is supposed to be the category of line operators for the 3D transignments. So this, the thing on the right-hand side is, I guess, what physics people would say, the WCWCS. Right, so I forgot a crucial remark here, which is that for Kachan and Lujic, kappa not in Q greater than H. For them, kappa cannot be a positive rational thing. So, but you can use that to deduce this. And the way you do that is by duality. You flip the negative level to the positive level. And of course, all the fun stuff happens with the braided monoidal structure. More about that coming later. Any questions about the statement so far? Right. So where do we head up next? So maybe I should just mention that, despite this is sort of like physically well understood, this that much less so. So far as I understand, I don't think anyone has a proposal in what Lujic quantum group is supposed to be the line operator of anything. No? Yeah. I don't think any. Yeah. I mean, there's some sort of ideas about what the Kachan De Concini quantum group is supposed to be, but I don't think Lujic's one is understood. Of course, this is all related to the idea of non-semi-simple TQFT, logarithmic VOA, and all that. But Now let's go back to the picture here. So our goal now is to generalize that statement. And here's one way to proceed. So note that there I just paired Neumann with vacuum. Now I'm going to play a slightly different game. Okay. So given any parabolic P, there exists a domain wall I'm going to call it just parabolic P between the theory that I attach to G and the theory I attach to M. M is the Levy subgroup. So for this talk, for now, let P just be the Borel. And so that's the in the course. All right, so now this in particular you have a you can think of the whatever your domain wall is supposed to produce on S1, and this is supposed to be of course so what's that? Right, so you want to break the gauge to just B. And if you, sorry, maybe I should fix some things here. Let me think. No, it's fine. No, here, maybe I want minus kappa for things to work out. Okay. You're supposed to act on the other side. So if you haven't seen those kind of twists before, just kind of, you can take faith in saying that they supposed to correctly work out. So what is this supposed to be? This is supposed to be the loop group quotient out by the loop group of the unipotent. Right. And now, now I can start to So therefore, now I can consider to pair the Neumann boundary condition on G with the parabolic wall. And you ask, OK, what does that produce? So the answer, of course, is this thing, kappa with strong invariance. Now, this is supposed to be where you're supposed to land. You're supposed to be landing in there's a tiny critical shift coming from the fact. So let me just explain this shift without writing on board. So why is there a shift? It's because you are breaking to the B gauge. So you really want your twist to be on the T theory, to be the one such that when you pull back to B theory, it matches with the restriction of the kappa twist to the G, from the G theory to the B theory. And this is the one that's the correct one. Okay. So now you can further just say, OK, you know, I only care about what happens if the other side is vacuum. So now I can ask what that is. And the answer is, so I have strong loop invariance with respect to n and a torus arc group invariance. Right. So this is the category that I will now be interested. I wanted to see how this category has something to do with quantum groups. All right. So, yes.
How are we pairing the beacons together? Is it tensor?
Oh, I'm just taking Hom. When I say pair, I just right. Like I'm just always taking Hom. So, like that still has a T action. So I can Hom like D modulus on Gird T. This amounts to taking TO equivariance. So that's what this ends up being.
The three thing is
this is the absolute theory now, right? This is a, there's nothing left. I'm just looking at, this is a 3D thing. I'm asking for its line operators. So that's this category. Yes.
I mean, you were just like, oh, just this picture. So we're starting with the Durham thing. So how?
I'm always on the Durham thing.
So it's like Durham on one curve and then topological on the worksheet.
No, I'm like, nothing is in topological yet.
Well, it is because you're talking about categories.
Well, sure, but.
Because you're willing.
This is.
He's talking about the transverse direction. That's what's giving you a transverse.
Sure. Yeah.
But how is stuff compared? And is it like, should they have a CP1 function or something?
So when I say pair, I just always mean I have like a strip. I put one boundary condition on one and boundary condition on the other, and then just take the scaling limit.
The strip is being a cylinder.
Yes.
So I think if the formal disk, two things at either end is in the middle, or?
I had a different picture for this, but maybe my feeling is because there's like the L plus of T, that this is more like, he's got like a boundary condition between the G theory and the T theory, and then he's just putting on like a trivial surface defect, or like the. I'm not 100% sure.
Sorry, maybe I. My apologies for unable to actually answer, question. For me, this serves more like a motivating device than like. I'm using these two like. Think about what kind of categories I'm supposed to be.
We just try to translate it into.
I see.
Or just single language.
I see.
Is this thing like it's had an action of like your T, the modules of your T on it, right?
Once you pair with this, no longer. Here you still do. No, here you only have a Satake action. I mean,
A Satake action.
Yeah.
Satake action, and that's like basically. Bulk lines for the torus, that's why I sort of feel like it.
Sure. You can still have like the bulk like surface. Bulk lines. Your bulk lines can still act on it. So
that's why I feel like it's like the G theory, a interface, a T theory, and then the trivial surface defect. So you're looking, and then that'll have an action of like the bulk lines. That's my feeling, but I'm not 100% sure.
I haven't thought about it before, so. Yeah. Okay. So, let me now state the result. So, the theorem. This is the joint work with Lin Chen, is that this category is the same as the BGG category O for the mixed quantum group. This is actually for any level. So, and here, let me just be slightly careful in saying that when I say BGG category O, I mean the one that is co-complete. I want to allow infinite direct sums and stuff like that. Okay. Might be a little bit unintuitive why this is the case. So here is a fact that is useful. So this category on the left-hand side is actually the same as the category strongly equivalent with respect to the Iwahori. So I is the Iwahori. So that this one, in some sense, is the category O for the affine cache Modi. Now, let me just make a remark that this one is very much not key exact. So with respect to the standard T structure on both sides, this thing has sort of like a very, very bad homological shift. It shifts things into a homological dimension, sarcohomological degree, negative infinity. As a category, these are equivalent. So why do I prefer talking about this one? It's from this perspective of having chiral structures. So this one, just by definition, you have a chiral structure on the left-hand side. The right-hand side does not. There is no like meaningful way to talk about when these things collide and fuse. Okay. So.
Can I ask a very question?
Please.
So I don't think you said this anywhere, but you say next.
Yes.
So that's divided powers.
Upstairs. So in the E part, no divided powers in the F part. I unfortunately erased what.
So the divided powers are the ones that act nilpotently.
That and nilpotently. That's right. Yes. Yeah, sorry. It was the previous generation of this board had that in there. But unfortunately, I erased it. Okay. So now let me just explain the ideas. Why, like how do we relate? So how do you do something about this category? So the way we do that is we are gonna express so G this category in terms of VOA modules
sorry, can I ask one other question?
Yes.
Is there a geometric reason why like the evil query doesn't factorize over all things like that in other many other contexts?
Uh-huh.
But like of the semi-infinite LN L plus.
Yeah, why does it factorize? So the way we think of it is like these things you can define naturally for multi-point that is over the RAN space. So for instance, over just like, you know, RAN space, you can just say, given some points, you ask for like a M, for loop N, that's just a M-bound, that's just a M, like map to N from the formal puncture disk. And so just by that definition, there's automatically a chiral structure you can put on here. Whereas this one here, you use the reduction to point to the central fiber, right? So that means this does not work if you try to fuse two.
So anytime you use like evaluation.
Exactly, that just does not work. That's right.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now, back to our goal of the plan of attack is I want to express this in terms of VOA modules. Let me just say a slight clarification. This is internal to the Kac-Moody category for the torus. So I want to reduce things down to the torus. And here's the picture. So there is a certain. So. First of all, I claim that there's a functor that is given by a particular. So I want to consider where do I want to consider? I want to consider so. There's, the parabolic, the domain wall is compatible with the Newman boundary condition on two sides. And that induces a map of this sort. Like there's an interface between these two things. So maybe, I don't know, maybe the picture to draw here is like this is the Newman condition for G, this is the Newman for T. And then I have a thing it.
You mean like you find it out with
exactly.
Like,
well, for me, this is the G theory, this is the T theory, so I'm just saying that like, this kind of picture exists. And okay, so let's see, where do I want to go next? Right, so, and further, oh, right, so now I can consider things here, line operators here. I want to consider them as sitting here. And when you explain to me, the picture here is that you can consider, can put a bulk, 2D bulk on a 3D theory. And you can sort of think, you can put a line operator in the G theory and then wrap the boundary condition around it. And then now you take the scaling limit and you just think of it as a very thin line and just let it touch the wall. And that becomes, of course, that becomes a module over the VOA on the boundary. So moreover, first of all, exists this. Moreover, so any P of L, so take any line and you consider this P, where does it, oh, what additional structure it has. So more in addition to just being on the boundary of the T theory, it is a module over the VOA object, which is just you consider the vacuum, so the trivial line. So that automatically is a VOA object in the category, the Kajetan-Luchti category for T. So let me erase a few things. Hence, there exists a map from the to you apply that to the vacuum. So let me say the vacuum here is just the Kajetan-Luchti VOA modules internal to the category that is line operators for T theory. And what is P? P is BRST reduction with respect to the nilpotent the algebra. So let us give this thing another name. So define, I just want to give it another name, omega. This is literally the BRST of the vacuum. So this is sort of like, I guess, people are probably more familiar with W algebra story where you put a character. Here we don't. So this thing is some sort of derived object. And so the main proposition is that for kappa, that which is positive, this enhanced functor, which is like BRST, n that goes from here two omega modules internal to the kappa minus grid T theory is an equivalence. Right. So in the general ground, this is sort of familiar story where kind of think some line operators, you want to express them as VUA modules. Let me just remark that all this picture is fully derived. Like this algebra is derived. It's unbounded cohomologically to the right. And these kind of categories, I haven't actually set the full thing. You know, there's always something, a homological fix that you have to do in order to get the correct statement. But this is the results that we're able to show. And further, omega is actually topological. So i.e. an E2 algebra object. This is how we're going to connect with quantum groups later. But I personally don't understand why it is the case. We're able to show it mathematically, but like, I have no intuition in why this has to be the case. Any questions so far? Yes?
This is just an idea. So a factorization algebra internal to a factorization category is a VUA.
Yes.
What is the E2 algebra?
So note that the Cash and Logic category actually is weighted monoidal. So it's stronger than being a factorization category. It is a legitimate E2 category. And now you can talk about E2 algebra objects in it.
I guess I'm just asking, like, is this like a VOA with some additional?
No, this is a VOA with a very boring structure. It's called topological. It has one mode that is called multiplication.
Like the stress tensor is keyless.
Hmm?
Stress tensor is trivial cohomology.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So now let's try to say something about. I will first say something about proving this, because this is the interesting part. And then I'll say something about how this relates to quantum group. And if time permits, I will say other things about how this has something to do with geometric long lens and all that. But other questions?
So we only talked about functor
going one way. So yeah. So we don't prove. So I'll talk about how we prove this, but we don't prove this by going establishing a functor going the other way. Dennis has some ideas about how to build the functor going the other way via screening operators, but for us, we do it by matching them as highest weight categories. There is an adjoint functor you can write down. You can go from the, you can go from Cauchy and Luchik to T. You can go back to the left-hand side. This is called taking the Wakimoto functor, or take a semi-infinite induction. So it's just parabolic induction for the semi-infinite thing. It exists. And indeed, that's sort of like step one of building the inverse functor. But that's not how we do it. Okay. So for proving this fact, as I said, so ideas for proof. So first of all, step one is that both sides have highest weight structure. By highest weight structure, I mean that there are certain generators that we call standard objects. And then they have some right orthogonals, co-standard objects, so on and so forth. So let me tell you what they are. So for the omega factorization module side, the standards are some shriek extensions, or star co-standards are star extensions from certain substrata. That would not even make sense if I don't say it. So using the fact that the Cauchy-Anderson category for torus, we have a good sort of geometric model for it. This is the D modules on the Afanasian of the dual torus. So this equivalence is not that difficult. And at a point, this is sort of very boring stuff because, both are just semi-simple categories. You do a tap at work to show it over the RAN space. But you use this, you can think of anything that's here as legitimate sheaves. And I'm saying that the factorization module side has a high space structure that are just given by some shriek or star extensions.
Sorry, when you say shriek or star extension, it's like the Grassmannian for the torus is a bunch of points. Is it mainly about like the automorphisms?
I think over the RAN space. So my points, like at one point, this is just copies of points.
Yeah.
Over RAN space, this is copies of curves. Like I'm thinking about configuring space of curve. And on this side, so these are given by the semi-infinite vermas and their duals. So actually, since I work with the positive level, so let me just say positive level, the co-standards are given by semi-infinite vermas, also known as Wakimoto modules.
Sorry, I just want to push you a little bit more, because mainly what I'm hoping to get out of your talk is actually more understanding of factorization geometry and less understanding of your result. So like, what do you mean? So like, when you like think of like the Grassmannian factorizably, so like, what are like the what are like this? How do you talk about like these strata that you're pushing, that you're shrieking?
Right.
Like, how does like this point spread out to like an open set? Like, what's like the topology?
Right. So the topology is the following. So think of like my points are labeled. So let me not worry about the module. I'm just say the algebra side, right? My algebra will be like labeled by the negative cones of my, I guess, co-weight lattice. And then if I have like a point, two points that are lambda 1 and lambda 2, and as they move to the diagonal, that this is like a fiber over like two distinguished points. As I move to the diagonal, it becomes lambda 1 plus lambda 2. So this is how you think of how points fuse.
No, I know how points fuse,
right.
But I'm asking is like, what is the open set?
Oh, I see. Right. Sure. Sure.
Why is it open? Like, it's what I'm asking. Or like, what's it like? Why does the strata become like an open set? Like, why do they not stay?
You mean these things? I'm not extending from open. I'm extending.
Okay, that's what I'm asking. When you say shriek extension or star extension?
Yeah, I'm extending from some locally closed things that are like, basically what it is like, I will take. I have a distinguished point on which I don't my weights are not necessarily in the negative cone, right? And I can like take the say I want the highest weight module. Say I want the highest weight module with some like mu.
Closed subset of what space?
Of the RAN space of GERT T check.
The RAN space of GERT T check.
Yes.
Okay.
So, and then, well, but.
And they're labeled by positive.
They're labeled by, for me, just any, all right? Any weight. And so, but for me, I will actually think about like a subspace, which is there's a distinguished point on which the weight is anything, and everywhere else, the weight is in the negative cone. Because my algebra actually will be in the negative cone. Okay, so if I suppose I want to take like some sort of standard module, right? I will take the one where I will ask my on that point, the total weight is like less than or equal to my highest weight, and I take like you know everywhere else can be whatever it is. Take that space and the shrink extent.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, sorry. Anyway, I was just trying to figure out like, what the geometry.
Okay, certainly. Yes. Yeah. Sure. Other questions? So now the question is basically matching, like if you translate the functor, you go from the this category, sorry, where is that? You go from this category, take BRST, you land in here, and then you apply this equivalence, you become some sheaves. And now you want to say that certain standard objects goes to certain shriek extensions, and certain co-standard objects goes to a certain star extension. Okay, what does that mean? That means you need to be able to compute the shriek and star fibers of them at particular points in order to check that is the case. So I need to compute shriek and star fibers. So let me give this equivalence a name, just so I can write things. This is called the fundamental local equivalence for the torus. So for the functor, that is, I first apply the BRST, then I apply the FLE for co-standards in the semi-infinite category. And so it turns out shriek fibers are easy, but star fibers are hard. So, and here is the sort of picture with localization, also known as compactification, comes in. Shriek is easy. Star needs the following idea. So step one is I will use some sort of contraction principle to convert to computing some conformal blocks. In the T theory. So because I'm taking star fiber, but my things will automatically be compatible with like a contracting action of for instance, if I'm on like A1, then there's an automatic GM action, and it's automatically equivalent with respect to that. So I can turn the star fibers into some global sections, which are conformal blocks. And then I will show, then like use a compatibility result to convert to G conformal blocks. let me explain this point. I want to explain this point. So, what's the picture here? So, in general, if I have, let's see. So I have some sort of boundary condition. I can always, should always have a compactification. Here I will call this lock, compactification functor to D modules on kappa of Bung G with a full level structure. Let me say at a point X with a full level structure at X. So for the only one I will need is the one for the Newman boundary condition. And that is because affine Kashmudi modules automatically localize to these kind of thing, because this kind of thing is, simple case, you can express that as a quotient of the loop group. So now you can just take localization of Kashmudi modules into D modules on loop group. So moreover, so first of all, if you have another boundary condition that you hum into it, so if you have some boundary condition B prime map to B, then of course you can just take hum, then the hum of the B boundary condition to B boundary condition will go to hum of the B prime boundary condition with D modules of Bung G with infinite level structure. So for instance, example. So if I put B is the Newman, and then B prime is vacuum, what I end up having is I have the Kashi-Dan-Luchi category localizes just onto D modules on Bung G. Right. And another example of the same phenomenon is that if I take this category, ln, l plus n, t, this should localize to essentially that Bung G with infinite level structure at x, but then I quotient out by this group. Right, and moreover, exists the multi-point version. So for instance, if I consider the Kashi-Dan-Luchi category not as a category, but as a chiral category. So I'll put the ren here to indicate this is a chiral category. right? Then you still have a localization map onto the module scuff on Bunchy. You're kind of just putting like line defects everywhere. And similarly, you have a version for this thing as well. Instead of putting infinite level at a specific point x, you can let this space to be fibered over the configuration space of points. And the key diagram, or key fact, that we prove is the following. This is the thing that sort of makes everything work. So we said that there is this category. And it becomes, so let me put the ren here, just so I remember this is a thing over ren space. And now it becomes omega factorization modules, factorization modules, internal to the Cauchy energy category with some critical shift over the ren space. So I'm really considering multi-point version. And now I have a localization functor that goes to D module of, let me just say, bound G with infinite level structure at the ren space, quotient out by whatever group is supposed to be. Now this space has a parabolic, reduction functor that is taking, essentially, you're doing the bound version of taking cohomology with respect to nilpotent. This goes to D modules, kappa, for bound T, minus something, for bound T. There is a localization here. Sorry, this by now, this should go to, because you have multiple points here, you should also go to here. And then this diagram, unfortunately, will span over two boards. And then finally, you want to take the global section and then just go to D modules on bound T. OK, so what is the key fact? The key fact is not that this diagram commutes. The key fact is that this diagram commutes for factorization algebras or modules. So this diagram, some things to be said. First, if you start with an arbitrary object, just multi-point object, it's not going to commute. So if you start with a factorization object, it does. Second, it does not commute prior to taking this global section where you integrate over the contribution over multi-points. It only does once you integrate. But this diagram, along with some other reduction, gives you the full result. So this, since I almost ran out of time, let me just say that this diagram, this kind of idea of compatibility of parabolic reduction with local global interaction is also like, you will see this in like, you know, the recent proof of geometric long lengths, you see the exact same kind of phenomenon. You really need this. And I really want to understand sort of like why this is true from a physical perspective, but I lack any idea. So. But given the time, I think I will probably stop here. Any questions?
I had a question about this mixed category.
Yes, please.
So people thought about like the actual translation functors on this guy.
Yeah. So I think Roman has had some thoughts on this. I don't know if it's written, but certainly. Yeah, so so if you think about blocks, actually Lucev has a result where he matched every block with of category O with some sort of Zergo modules, and it's not on the archive yet. But Ivan Lucev, yeah. So he has some results there where so it's not too bad. You can think of them just as how you think of usual blocks. Unfortunately, our proof strategy is completely sort of like ignorant of the actual inner structure of the category O, which you can treat either as a feature or as a bug, depending on your taste. But yes. Yes, please.
So you described like the mixed category in terms of, should I think of it in terms of something solving 3D TFT?
Yeah, I mean, the category I give you is literally the category of line operators for some 3D thing. But
the way you've given it to me, I find it so hard to parse.
Sorry.
Is there any other?
I don't know of an actual description of the thing. I mean, like, it is supposed to be something 3D, but I don't, like, I'm not aware of, well, just because I don't know physics, I'm not aware of, like, a way to say it in the correct terms. Maybe, I don't know. Any thoughts on that? Yeah. So that one, what are you talking about? The one with force non-semi-semi-code?
Yeah.
So what that does is that produce. I think, if my understanding is correct, it's supposed to produce quantum group representation for the Cache-de-Concini quantum group. Cache-de-Concini, where there's no divided power operator.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's the.
That's
right. That's right. So. The way, yeah, so once you drop all this divided power, you have a large center. And like somehow that category of structure is a little bit better understood. And I think there's some idea of matching that with some VOA modules. No, this is something slightly different. Maybe let me say a single word on, on the question. You know, I wrote down some equivalence. And being a VOA module category, you can always ask, OK, does this category fuse? And we didn't claim that. We only proved that it's a pointwise equivalence. There is subtlety in showing the chiral version. So you first want to show it's a chiral equivalence. Then you ask, does it actually upgrade to an E2 equivalence? Even in chiral equivalence, there is subtlety because of the homological problems that I mentioned, but I never explained. So note that these categories, you always have to modify them. For like to give you a hint of why you have to modify, even in the Cache and Logic category, the vacuum is not compact. So you have to modify it such that it becomes compact. And now you want to do this over every power of the curve, such that it's compatible with factorization. This turned out to be hard. And we haven't really sort of ironed it out yet. There are some very related ideas in, you know, like Sam Raskin and Justin Campbell's recent paper on derived factorizable satake, where they had to do similar things. But our categories are somehow just a little bit more exotic than the things they consider. So we can't quite do it yet. Sorry. Excuse me.
All right. Shall we get some lunch?
Thank you. Thank you.